This is Commercial Oral Histories of Central Sydney, talking to about Andy Ellis Taylor, and I'm talking to Mrs. Ellis. I'll ask you again, I'm afraid, to spell your full name.
C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E-E-L-L-I-S.
You've got a middle name?
Yes.
Right. What year were you born?
1949.
And whereabouts?
In New Zealand.
Whereabouts in New Zealand?
Central Waikato is the name of the town.
And you grew up there?
Yes, I did.
School there?
Yes.
And where did you first go to work?
In itself, working in the post office as a telephonist and, what do they call it, teleprinter operator.
And what led you? You came to Australia eventually?
Yes, I did.
When?
1970. And I met Ross in 1970.
Did you get married straight away or what?
No, we didn't get married until 1974.
So when did you first become aware of the business of Andy Ellis?
In 1970, just after I met Ross.
And what was it like then?
It was just remarkable, yes. It was very busy and there was Ross and his dad and his Uncle Wally were the main people that I met at that time.
Now what did they all do in the business?
Ross was doing a lot of the cutting and Wally just seemed to do a lot of the everything, yes, and Dad did a lot of the fittings and, cutting as well with Ross.
Was he involved in promotions at that period of time?
He probably was, but I wasn't exactly aware of a lot of what was going on at that time.
Rodney Jacobs had left at that stage, had he?
No, Rodney was still there, so I did meet Rodney then, yes. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
What was he like?
Very good at selecting, you know, shirts and ties and putting things together and... I've really got to think. He used to have a glass cabinet that he put the bow ties and the frilly... what do they call
those?
The dress shirts in, and he used to order, shirts and ties and belts at that stage.
And what was Andy Ellis like?
A really nice person. I liked him, yeah. He was good, yeah.
Was he flamboyant?
No, not really flamboyant. Very much a gentleman, very, very much a gentleman. Always dressed beautifully. From the day I met him, even in the hottest weather, he would wear, you know, very immaculate suits and always look very cool and always very smart.
Well, does that go with the powerboat racing?
Probably not, no. He probably had two sides to that coin, but I think he, even when he was powerboat racing, he always looked, you know, the gentleman.
No, that wouldn't be. When he was in the powerboat.
When he was younger, I probably didn't know him.
The rope to hold his trousers up when he was there. He used to mainly wear white overalls.
Yes.
Did he teach you to water ski?
No, I didn't. I was never taught to water ski.
Mainly because he didn't particularly want to.
No, more than that he wouldn't. Yeah, yeah.
And when did you first come to work in the shop?
I worked with Ross after his father died and supported Ross through the first 12 months of his being alone in the shop.
Mm. What was the shop like then?
By then, slowed down somewhat in the suit department. They were still making riding coats. The business had slowed down considerably, I think, because of transport alterations, not so many people going past that end of town by then. there were changes in the economy and changes in styles of riding coats and a big influx of ready-made things from overseas. I think that people were probably trying. So at that stage, things were slowing down considerably. Mm-hmm.
Had the People's Palace been pulled down at that stage?
Yes, it had. And the Russian was actually built, in the process of being built.
And did you get customers from the West End?
I don't know what that means.
West End is a hotel.
The hotel. Yes, yeah, we did. Yeah.
And what about the CB private hotel as it used to be over the road? Do you get country people from that?
Yeah, I think
you don't
so.
Really
you just
know
don't really where they,
where
come,
they
from.
Come from a lot of time, but we do get country people, so they are from all around.
The people that are across the road too, we had a few people that would be in, from New Zealand and places like that.
You can tell,
that.
Can you?
Yes, I can. Countrymen.
You just get them to ask if they've been up for fish and chips, do you?
Just about. Yeah.
Did you ever go up to the P&S Fish Cafe?
Yes, on a couple of occasions I did, yes. It was always, you know, really nice.
That was one thing with the children. They used to come in to visit us in the shop with Dad, and the highlight of their day was always to go up to the P&S and get chips to have with Dad down in the shop, and they loved that. And we still go and get chips from up there and sit in the back of their shop and eat them as if it was Dad was still there with it.
Andy, your father-in-law, people have spoken about him being good with children too.
Ah, lovely, yes. There was one time, Ross and I, where he said he'd look after our children and he would look after them while we went out for dinner. So he came and babysat our children for us, and off we went to dinner, and we were sitting there enjoying our meal, and next thing I know, I get a little tap on the shoulder, and he'd taken our children up to the same place, and they were sitting near us. So he had a good sense of humour as well.
As a matter of fact, Harry Gatt mentioned that he reckoned he had his first suit as a schoolboy from Andy when he was in the place above Adelstein's in Paddington.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me at all.
Harry told me that story. Yes. His father bought him in when he was a schoolboy.
And he reckons, therefore, that he is definitely the longest-standing customer.
I'd definitely say that as yeah.
Well,
and Harry's a great customer. He's a regular customer and a lovely person to deal with.
Now, can you, were you working there with Ross when the backpackers took over the CB and the West End?
No, I don't think so.
That's happened recently, last couple of years.
Probably just after I left,
Any Asian customers come in when you were there?
Yes, we had a few Asian customers coming in then, yes.
And what sort of people came in then?
Variety. A lot of old customers coming back. There was a lot of people, a few people from across the road. It's really different. I'm sorry. What sort of customers? Generally, you know, gentlemen who just wanted, you know, good clothing, I think, and not... an impression that I got was that there are still a lot of people that are looking for the type of shop that Ross has rather than a large department store. That was the kind of feeling. Mm. We'd get a variety of people. We had one chap, for example, if I'm allowed to say this, he'd won quite a lot of money the night before, and he came and he bought shoes and slacks and shirts, and you know, he just seemed thrilled that he could get the whole lot in a small space instead of going from floor to floor sorting through a great pile of stuff. He was delighted with mm-hmm. what he'd got, you know.
Yeah.
And the service that he got as well. So.
Yes. Yes, there was a lot of gambling around in that area, wasn't there? I mean, apart from the Mandarin Club, there was the illegal places like the Goulburn and various others immediately in the area.
I didn't know anything about those, so I think I've led a very protected life somehow. Yeah.
Oh, yes, there's a lot in that
quite
area.
In that area, it was. Yes.
I mean, I was a taxi driver for a while, and I can name half a dozen places within cooey of that.
Right. Okay.
At one stage, Tomo's was even down that way.
Yeah. Were they?
But the customers were a variety. They weren't not. A few young, very young people came in. They'd be looking for suits, etc., for formals. I think it probably wasn't quite what they wanted to. They probably wanted something that they felt was a little more trendy, even though Ross could have made them whatever they wanted.
Yeah, they wanted something in the week sort of thing.
Yes, as well, very quickly. They weren't sort of more ready-made. They were after something really fast. And
yeah. I noticed Ross keeps a jacket in the window there. It looks as if it came straight out of the 60s.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Well, we like to have something in the window to attract
people's
attention.
Yeah.
You get some funny comments about it. Some people say, oh, isn't that fantastic? Others say, yeah, they wouldn't be seen dead in it. But it makes them look in the window and perhaps see something that they might like.
Or they come in because they're interested, yes.
Our window is our best salesman, really. We've always had good windows.
That was one of the things that I enjoyed doing when I was working with Ross and would like to have the time to do again. It's because I think window shopping used to be a thing of the 70s, you know, and it's a bit of a shame we can no longer do it.
Well, the new shops now, they don't really have windows anymore. They're usually straight directly into the shop, aren't they?
Just a thought.
Well, they vary amongst the businesses. I remember one of the businesses we're doing in this project is Cornelius Furs. Now, you used to look straight down into the shop. They used to have fur coats along the top.
That's right.
And you used to look straight down into the salon, as they said. Not the shop, the salon.
Oh, I bought my one and only leather coat from Cornelius Furs in 1970, and I was absolutely delighted with it. Yes. Are they still there, are they?
No.
No, I didn't think so.
The people who bought them out closed down last year.
That's a shame. Mm. But I guess there's so much anti-fur and stuff like that. Yeah,
they
didn't.
The Cornelius family, Stella and Max, sold out in 1978 before all that started.
Mm. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But there's the window you go up the road there to P&S Fish Cafe, and he's got fish in the window.
That's right. Yeah.
It's all relative.
And the Comic Kingdom, they've got comics in the window.
Yes.
So there's still windows around the place.
Yes. Oh, yeah, but they're older sort of shops, aren't they?
Yeah.
Well, that's why we're around recording
that's right.
Stories. Well, what else did I ask you? What about Andy's, did he work up in the shop right up to the time he died?
Yes, he did, And
within 3 weeks of
his death.
Four or five weeks.
Mm-hmm. He became ill over the Easter break and was admitted to the Royal North Shore Hospital and died in May, end of May. And energetic, and his sister used to come in as well, and she was 90 when she died. And Auntie Pearl was just an amazing lady, and she just, even in her 90s, she came into the shop when we were in there in the Christmas, and had a cup of tea with us.
Yeah. She actually worked for Dad in the early days as a on the clerical side of it as well. Pearl Podmore, her name was. And she was a terrific person. She'd always come in, say I was sick or Dad was sick. You could just ring her up and she'd come in and just mind the shop, really. She was lovely with customers, but as she got older, she didn't like to actually sell them anything, but she always talked to them if I was busy and just keep them occupied until I could get around to serving them. But she was a lovely person too. Mm.
And your uncle used to work in the shop as well?
Uncle Wally, yeah. Yeah, he was a terrific person too. He was a champion weightlifter in his early days, apparently. So they've all been quite famous people. In their own sort of different field.
Is there anything else I should ask you? You think that I haven't.
Oh, there's probably many things we could tell you about Andy and the
stories.
Shop. Yeah, stories and things, but they're really difficult to think of just offhand.
There's quite a few things.
Rodney may have told you the story of that we didn't know about until he. Oh, there is something I can tell you. One of the things that I know about Andy that impressed me greatly was hanging in his shop from the day I met them was a copy of what's called the Desiderata. And I read it and I thought, what wonderful words they were. And I believe that if he lived by any code, it was probably by that one, by what was written in the Desiderata.
Chris read Desiderata out at his funeral because she was always so impressed by that and how he did seem to live by the words of that. It's a lovely piece. But what was the other one you were going to say about Rodney before?
The story about the girl who lost her wages and he gave her his wage packet, his own wages. And lots of things that he's done for, each of us. When we were, younger and, getting a house and stuff like that, he gave us some help. And you with your cars when you were growing up. And I sort of would like to dispute here too the fact that Harry Gadd is the oldest customer. It depends upon his age because Ross has actually still got a suit that was made for him when he was 2 years old.
Well, I think it's touch and go there because Harry's the same age as me.
Okay, so there you go. Harry probably wins still.
Yeah, but he was 16, you see.
Okay.
So,
it's hard to say. And if Harry paid for his suit, I probably didn't when I was 2 years
old. Well,
there you go. So you win, Harry.
Lots of things about Ross's dad that, he was just a really, really nice. He was lovely with our kids and they used to love going in there and they certainly loved the boat. I went out a few times on the boat.
Were you ever there out in a race?
No, never. No, no. Who knew? I would have been sitting on the bank if I'd been there. No, Ross has involved in that.
Rodney was saying that the same as Ross that he used to start to turn before they reached the buoy, and it was quite hairy going around that buoy.
Yes.
Just talking about the boat again. The other person that we didn't mention was Dad's other brother. His name was Murray.
Murray Ellis.
He was the mechanic in the family. He used to do all the tuning of the boat and work on the motors along with Dad, but Dad was never a mechanic, but he learned he could do anything if he put his mind to it. But Murray was the one who got the boat going to really fast.
What engine did he have in it?
The one that he got all the records with was a Chev engine.
He mentions that he's got a whole list on the advertising sheet there about the chickadee. It is available with all different motors in. And he'd even got included that you could have a Rolls Royce in it.
Yeah, well, one of the motors that they did put into the boat was a Rolls Royce Merlin. That was
surely
it took up the back of the
Yeah.
Well, it did. It was really incredible motor to hear it go. Oh, magnificent sound! But they couldn't. It was that powerful that it used to shear the connection to the propeller off, and they very seldom got it to go very far before they lost all power because the propeller wouldn't turn. Yeah. With a beautiful sight to see and hear.
Yes. Is there anything else you can think of?
No, not really. Just a really nice person.
All right, well, I'll say thank you very much, Mrs. Ellis.
Thank you.